This is KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, with Dennis Hart, bringing you a summary of the news from the pages of the Ames Tribune.
Thanks very much. What a week of news it's been, with Tuesday's election dominating virtually everything else. We'll start with that and then return to our normal chronological look at the week's events from the pages of the Ames Tribune. By now, you know that Iowa Republican Governor Kim Reynolds defeated her Democratic challenger Fred Hubbell in the closest state gubernatorial race in 62 years. Reynolds, who became governor when Terry Branstad left midterm to become ambassador to China, won a full term and became the first female governor to be elected in Iowa. Meanwhile, in Iowa Congressional District 4, which includes Ames, incumbent Republican Steve King defeated his Democratic challenger J.D. Scholten by about 10,000 votes. King won his ninth term in office. Elsewhere around the state, Democrat Abby Finkenauer defeated Republican incumbent Rod Blum in Congressional District 1. Democratic incumbent Dave Loebsack won his seventh term in office by defeating his Republican challenger Chris Peters in Congressional District 2. And Democrat Cindy Axne defeated Republican incumbent Dave Young in District 3. Axne and Finkenauer become the first women to represent Iowa in the U.S. House of Representatives. In state legislative races, Republicans kept control of the Iowa House and Senate. When the state legislature convenes in January, GOP lawmakers will hold a 54-46 margin over Democrats in the House and a 36-18 margin in the Senate. A record 44 women will be serving in the upcoming state legislature, 33 in the 100-member House and 11 in the 50-member Senate. In state Senate District 23, Democratic incumbent Herman Kurmbach was reelected. In District 25, Republican incumbent Annette Sweeney was victorious. In State House District 45, incumbent Democrat Beth Wessel Crochelle was reelected. In House District 46, incumbent Democrat Lisa Heddens was also reelected, as was incumbent Republican Dave Dio in the 49th District. In Story County, Democrat Linda Merkin and incumbent Republican Rick Sanders won their races for county supervisor. Merkin joins Democrat Loris Olson on the board, giving Democrats a majority. In the race for Story County Treasurer, Democratic challenger Tad Rasmussen defeated incumbent Republican Renee Tweet. Voter turnout for the county was high on Tuesday, with 61% of eligible voters casting ballots. The last time Story County reported a higher voter turnout for a gubernatorial race was in 1982. Now let's take a look at what else happened in and around Ames last week, starting with a look at last Saturday's Ames Tribune. Much of that paper's front page, predictably, had to do with the upcoming election. The Trib reported that J.D. Scholten had come to Ames to hold a news conference at the library where he said Steve King was giving Iowa a bad reputation and needed to be defeated. There was another pre-election story about State Senator Rita Hart, the Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor, who met with supporters at the Erickson Public Library in Boone and urged them to make sure people got to the polls on Tuesday. And there was one more front-page political story, this one involving another Democrat, Iowa Secretary of State candidate Deidre DeGeer, who attended a meet-and-greet in Boone and talked about what she would do if she were elected. On Election Day, she lost to Republican incumbent Paul Pate. There was one front-page story last Saturday that was not about elections. This one involved the City Council in Story City, which awarded a $244,000 contract for a new wastewater equalization basin at the wastewater plant. That basin will help the treatment facility control the concentration of wastewater. The project is part of Story City's Wastewater Capital Improvements Plan, which has identified more than $2 million worth of improvements. The existing wastewater plant went into operation nearly 30 years ago, and it will need extensive improvements over the next 5 to 7 years. Those improvements will help the city comply with more stringent federal and state regulations and guidelines. Sunday's Trib had yet another pre-election story, this one involving Democratic gubernatorial candidate Fred Hubbell and his running mate, State Senator Rita Hart. They showed up in pouring rain to meet supporters at Inez Grove Park in Ames on Saturday. Hubbell told them his top priorities as governor included education and creating quality, affordable health care. Other candidates in attendance were State Representative Beth Wessel Crochelle, State Senator Herman Kurmbach, and Story County Treasurer candidate Ted Rasmussen. Sunday's paper also reported that an Ames dentist office provided free care for 37 veterans. It's the third consecutive year that dentistry at Somerset Clinic has offered the services to veterans at no cost. Clinic staff members say it's a way to put their skills to work helping those who otherwise might go without dental care. They say they plan to do it again next year. The Trib also reported that Iowa State University International Week was set to begin last Sunday with a variety of educational events and activities for the entire community. Among those activities, a dance night, a game night, and a bazaar night, all scheduled for this past week, and an international night scheduled for tomorrow night, Saturday, starting at 6 p.m. in the Great Hall of the Iowa State Memorial Union. It will feature music, dance, cultural performances, and food from around the world. And one more note from last Sunday's Tribune, word that the Salem Lutheran Church in Roland will celebrate its 150th anniversary this coming Sunday, November 11th. The church got its start back in 1868, when 19 families of Norwegian immigrants left the Storey County Church to form their own church. The church was first organized in Schoolhouse No. 4 in Howard Township, southwest of Roland. Since then, the church has built a couple of structures, including the one it occupies today at 102 South Main Street in Roland. The Trib is not published on Mondays. Tuesday's paper had a number of pre-election-related stories, but it reported other news as well. There was word that the Ames man, who was found guilty of sexually assaulting a woman in Franklin Park, had been sentenced to 30 years in prison. 24-year-old Devontis David Voits was convicted of second-degree sexual assault and willful injury. Authorities said he pulled a woman from her car near the park last year and attacked her. Tuesday's Trib also reported that Ames and Storey County could be in the running as the sites for two divisions of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Dan Culhane, who is the president and CEO of the Ames Chamber of Commerce and the Ames Economic Development Commission, told Storey County supervisors that Ames is one of 136 communities across the nation and one of five in Iowa, vying to be the location of the USDA's Economic Research Service and the National Institute for Food and Agriculture, both of which are now based in Washington, D.C. In Iowa, the other communities putting in a bid for the projects are Des Moines, West Des Moines, Ankeny, and Council Bluffs. Tuesday's Trib also reported that the Ames Human Relations Commission is seeking nominations for its annual Humanitarian Award. That award recognizes and honors an individual whose contributions demonstrate efforts to promote diversity, fairness, and equality. The recipient will be recognized during a community celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. next January. This year's Humanitarian Award winner was Heather Withers, who is a former pastor at Unity Church in Ames. Aside from election news, Wednesday's Trib reported that the council chamber at Ames City Hall was filled to capacity on Tuesday as residents crowded into the room to meet the first of three finalists for the public library director's position. Cheryl Hyde, who is the current director of the Grimes Public Library, introduced herself to those in the audience as she made her bid to become the successor to current library director Lynn Carey, who is retiring in January. Hyde said she's interested in Ames because of its diverse economy, the community's passion for the library, and the high level of education and culture of innovation the community offers. Hyde said, in her words, "You obviously love your library, and that's wonderful, and it's not something that every library has." The audience asked questions involving diversity and how she would partner with local organizations such as Iowa State University. Another finalist for the library director's job, John Thill of the Meridian Public Library in Idaho, was scheduled to hold his public presentation in Ames yesterday, Thursday. Wednesday's paper also reported that a house fire in Nevada had killed a family dog, but there were no other injuries. The blaze took place near G Avenue and 6th Street in Nevada. Thursday's Trib reported that an outdoor ice rink will be built in South River Valley Park in Ames for public use starting this winter. It will be funded by the Iowa Wild, which is the American Hockey League affiliate of the National Hockey League's Minnesota Wild, and by Wells Fargo. The rink will measure 80 feet by 40 feet and stay open as long as weather permits and the ice stays frozen. The new rink will be available for both ice skating and for hockey. More information will be on the way from the Ames Parks and Recreation Department. Thursday's Trib also had word that the annual Snow Magic celebration in downtown Ames will kick off today, Friday, with a variety of events and activities lasting several weeks. This year's kickoff includes the iconic tree lighting ceremony tonight at 6 in Tom Evans Plaza. Free carriage rides from the historic railroad depot to the Octagon Center for the Arts will be offered until 8. Then tomorrow, Saturday, numerous businesses will offer various prizes. Other events will go on downtown well into December. You can find out more about all of it by checking out the Ames Main Street page on Facebook. And that is your summary of a busy week of news indeed, most of it election-related, from the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, reminding you that I'll be right back here on Monday with a look at what made news around the state of Iowa this past week. In the meantime, stay warm and have a great weekend.
In case you just tuned in, you've just heard Dennis Hart's summary of local news on KHOI Community Radio. Next, we'll listen to a conversation between Ursula Rudenberg and Nicholas Johnson, pioneering Federal Communications Commissioner from 1966 to 1973, and more recently retired from teaching communications and cyber law at the University of Iowa College of Law. He will be coming to Ames on Friday, November 16th, to spend an evening with us discussing the state of independent media today. Let's listen to find out why this will be an event you won't want to miss.
We're excited about having this discussion with you in person.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting, and I think it's a discussion that is needed all across America, and that is an awareness of the extent to which all of the major institutions that are essential to democracy, of which the media is one, are under siege. The most important media are the local media. Americans need to be more aware of the extent to which democracy itself is under siege and the extent to which there are major institutions in our society, like free public education and libraries and an independent judiciary and media, that are important institutions without which you can't have democracy.
Why is local media important?
While we've had a lot of challenges in America over the last 240 years or whatever, it's never really been a loss of the democracy itself. And I've never even focused on that possibility until recent years, with the rise of fascism and dictatorships and authoritarians around the world and the campaign of Putin to promote that. And now I realize that we have a real risk. You know, we say, well, it can't happen here, but the people who say that have not seen the film of the gathering in Madison Square Garden of 20,000 Nazis in the 1930s. I mean, it can happen here. And we are seeing already evidences of cutbacks on appropriations for higher education, gerrymandering and voter suppression, and certainly attacks on the media, which are suffering enough. Then the reason why I say the local media is so important is we have alternative sources of international news. I have on my iPhone an app for the BBC and The Guardian in London, Le Monde down of Paris, Sputnik down of Moscow, Asahi Evening Shimbun down of Tokyo, South China News Service from Kurdistan, and so forth. And those things are available to us. We have alternative sources of national news still, New York Times and the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. We have less strength in our statewide media, like the Des Moines Register, once it was taken over by Gannett. It is not the paper it was when I was a boy, and it had won more Pulitzer Prizes than any newspaper in America except for the New York Times. What's under greatest threat are local media, local newspapers, many of which have gone out of business all across the country. You have to cut costs. Your costs are the journalists, and so you cut journalists. And they're also under attack from all the alternative media now available via the Internet. But not only is all politics local, but all democracy is local. It's in the family, in the neighborhood, in the small communities. And I just posted something on Facebook. It was sort of a revelation to me that the number of people eligible to vote who bother to register, and of those the ones who bother to vote, that those percentages increase as you get into smaller and smaller communities. Part of that is community radio, what you're doing with KTRI. It's important for people to understand that and to promote it. It's important they subscribe to their local newspapers. It's important that they provide financial support for their local community radio stations and that they put pressure on the commercial stations to do more in the way of local reporting. When I was on the FCC, and we required it, They had to do community surveys and identify problems of local interest and do programming about them and include that in their application for license renewal. Well, of course, all that's gone now.
Nicholas, can I break in here just for a second to remind the person listening to this that they can donate to KHOI by going to khoifm.org, and we are currently in our membership drive. So if you go to khoifm.org and click on the donate button, you'll have a safe and secure way to donate to KHOI. Or if you just want to come down to the station, we're at 410 Douglas Avenue, and we very happily take your donation in person and thank you. And we have cider and donuts down here, and we'll give you one of those. So thank you for being part of KHOI and local community here in Central Iowa. And we're talking with Nicholas Johnson, who is a renowned former FCC commissioner who is a native of Iowa. He's one of ours, and he lives in Iowa City now, and he was at the School of Law at University of Iowa. I understand recently retired, and he is coming to Ames to talk with us in person in support of KHOI and to talk about the current state of media.
I am coming to Ames, and I'll be speaking on November 16th, and you can get the details about the times and all that, and that is my effort to try to contribute to a fundraising effort by the station. I'm not taking any fee. I'm not asking for any reimbursement of my expenses. And then there's a little surprise also that is a part of my contribution. But I want to get together with the folks of Ames and talk not just about KHOI, but about the media in general, local media in particular, and the role of independent media in supporting a democracy and how it's under siege, and most important, what we can do about it, because we're not helpless in this. And we'll be exploring all those things the evening of November 16th. When did I come over before?
You came over on our third birthday, which would have been 2015.
2015,
yeah.
Okay.
So every 3 years we expect you here in Ames, Nicholas.
Yeah, sort of like the locusts.
We expect you back in 2021.
That gives me an incentive to live to 2021.
Speaking of age, this is ex-Commissioner Nicholas Johnson, who was quite well known for his outspoken stance while you were in Washington, D.C. as an FCC commissioner, a federal communications commissioner. And you are one of ours. You're an Iowan. When you look back on your years as an FCC commissioner, what is your takeaway? What changed you when you went and fulfilled that leadership role in media?
Well, it's interesting you should ask, because although my current book, which came out a couple months ago, called Columns of Democracy, which is a part of the subject we're going to be talking about on November 16th, the book I'm working on now is a full-length book answering your question, but it's a description of what happened to my life that caused me to end up at the FCC and what I learned while I was there about why Washington doesn't work, a very explicit description of exactly how things happen and what it is we can do about that. Maybe that can be the subject 3 years from now.
Just in three words, give your impression of what it was like to be an FCC commissioner. Just three words.
Chaotic, rewarding, demanding. Never before have I been challenged to express something in three words without any verbs. I didn't know I could say anything in three words.
Just in case the listener doesn't understand who you are, you are also the only FCC commissioner that was on the cover of Rolling Stone. Is that right? Rolling Stone magazine?
That's right. That's right. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only former FCC commissioner who was invited to pose for a spread in Playgirl magazine who refused to do it.
Oh, the others all agreed?
Had you ever seen The Mercifully, you would know why the others would never have been invited. I was at least invited, but my staff persuaded me that would not be a wise thing for me to do.
Well, you must have been a looker.
Those were the days, my friend. But they have ended.
Why were you on the cover of Rolling Stone?
I tell you, it's not because of my ability to play the trombone. It's not my musical ability, but I felt that the music industry was unfairly being criticized by the Nixon administration, he and Agnew. They were trying to say that all the problems in America were a result of rock music and whatever. And so I did a talk on that that the New York Times ended up making a full-page report of. And I went through some of the lyrics and told some of what Nixon and Agnew were up to. And then did an interview on the Yale student station about that. They wanted to impeach me for that. But they discovered there was no way you could impeach an FCC commissioner. And then I was so delighted they found out that there are ways to impeach presidents.
So you ticked a lot of people off while you were FCC commissioner.
That was my job. That's still my job. You know, ask the questions people are afraid to ask and provide some of the answers they know are true but are afraid to say.
What made you such a pioneer at heart?
The people along the way, I was blessed with parents and teachers in public school and then undergraduate and law school. I clerked for Justice Hugo Black, who'd always been a big hero of mine. And I kind of followed dissenters, people who spoke up. All the people along the way who I read about and to speak up for the people who were essentially voiceless and needed a spokesperson. But I became impressed with what you can say in public. You don't have to go along. You can speak truth to power, and it needs to be done. See, you can actually do that as a government official. I decided maybe that would be a constructive thing I could do.
You had a very distinguished and very diverse career that took you all over the world and in many forms. Now you're back in Iowa City. We're speaking with former Federal Communications Commissioner Nicholas Johnson. Now you're residing in your hometown again in Iowa City. Is that correct?
I'm in my hometown, and I'm in my home where I grew up during World War II, and I'm now back in that same house.
Proving that you can go home again. And Mr. Johnson is coming to Ames to be with us again for the second time in 3 years to support KHOI. And he'll be appearing on the 16th of November at the First United Methodist Church in downtown Ames on Kellogg. At 6:30, we're going to be having a social hour where you can meet and greet Mr. Johnson. We'll have some refreshments from our spectacular volunteers, and the refreshments always are spectacular. Have a chance to meet Mr. Johnson, who is a historic figure in media. And then starting at 7 o'clock, we will have a presentation from Mr. Johnson with some question and answer discussion afterwards. And this is a fundraiser for KHOI. It's a free will donation. Come and join us, support your local media, and have a really memorable evening. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for spending so much time on the phone with us to let people know what's going to happen and who you are. For those who don't know,
this is going to be a 30-minute lecture and 30-minute discussion on November 16th. If they would like to know the name of the textbook from which much of this will be drawn, it is called Columns of Democracy. Columns of Democracy, you can go to Amazon and look up Columns of Democracy, and they can deliver it to you in 2 days. That way you can brush up on the reading assignment. That is not required. You can come to the lecture and try to figure it out as best you can without having done the reading, which many students have done going through college.
You're going to bring 5 copies with you for 5 lucky donors who will then get a personally signed copy. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm donating those, but they are for a fundraiser. So we're going to set a minimum price, what they have to be, and then we're going to have them bid, and whoever are the highest bidders and contribute the most to the station, and none of that revenue goes to me either. So I'm contributing everything that evening in an effort to get other folks be equally generous and make a support to a very important part of the Ames community and support KHOI. And I very much look forward to seeing folks and seeing you, Ursula, on November 16th. And you can find the place and time on the KHOI website.
That's KHOIFM.org. And while you're there, you can make a donation at the donate button. And come join us. That's Friday, November 16th at the First United Methodist Church in downtown Ames on Kellogg in the beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. Mr. Johnson will be there. And as you can hear, he's a particularly enjoyable and easy to like person. Maybe that's how he got away with being such a troublemaker all his life. But it will be a really enjoyable event. This gentleman has a great sense of humor and a colorful speaker and an important message in our time. He is a thought leader, has always been a thought leader, and so we invite you to come and share an evening of thinking about what actually local media means. Put KHOI in some sort of dignified context, right, Nicholas? We're going to dignify KHOI with your presence.
Well, no, you dignify me by inviting me there.
Okay.
But I don't know that either one of us really need dignity. We just doing our job.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and see you on a week from Friday, Mr. Johnson.
Right. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. And looking forward to having you, the listener, join us. And, you know, these are times where we have to have enjoyable, heartening conversations, and this is definitely going to be one of them. So see you on Friday, the 16th, at the United Methodist Church. Thank you, Nicholas.
Okay. Thank you, Ursula.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is KHOI Community Radio. If you plan to come to KHOI's Evening with Nicholas Johnson, Media Under Siege, we invite you to arrive at 6:30 for some refreshments before the more formal program. This is the major fundraiser for KHOI's Fall Fund Drive.
We have Mary Rankin here with us. Mary is here every month, as you know. She is Sustainability Director for Iowa State University and Sustainability Coordinator for the City of Ames. And hi, Mary.
Good morning. How are you today?
Just great. I'm excited to hear what all your guests are going to be talking about.
I do have a great group of guests with me this morning, and it's so exciting, as always, to be joining you all on KHOI. So what we're going to talk about today is the fact that we have come on before. We've talked about the 10-year Live Green anniversary at Iowa State University. This is our 10th year for the Live Green initiative at ISU. Maddie and Molly, who are also here with me again today, are our 10-year anniversary strategic initiative interns. So looking at how we can be as involved, as proactive, related to celebrating this 10 years as possible. And so the reason that we are here again today is that November that we have just started has a very exciting theme related to it that we are celebrating and that we are also engaging the community in a very direct, unique, and exciting manner. So I will, first of all, introduce my guests. So as I mentioned, we have Madeline Blandon, who is one of the 10-year anniversary strategic initiative interns, and also Molly Breen, who is the other intern of that team. And we're so excited to be joined by Cindy Hicks, who's the director of Ames Main Street. And we're excited to talk about the theme for November, which is Buying Green. And related to that Buying Green theme, our engagement event for our celebration is a really unique local shopping day called Sustames, related to sustaining Ames through shopping local, keeping local dollars invested locally. And so that's the event that we're very excited that is actually happening tomorrow on Saturday, just after our Snow Magic kickoff events tonight on Friday. We'll be doing this all day tomorrow. And so related to that, I wanted to invite Molly and Maddie, first of all, to talk about their motivation for a Sustames event. Because when we first started talking about what can we do every month as part of the 10-year Live Green anniversary celebration, I really just said to them, I don't know, come up with creative ideas, brainstorm, think out of the box. And so I wanted to let them talk about how they came up with this event and talk a little bit more about the event as well.
So hello, I am Molly Breen, and I would say one of my biggest motivations was really connecting campus and community. As students, we know there are so many great local shops in Ames, and I feel like not enough students take advantage of these shops. So a really big motivation for me was just letting kids know about all the opportunities. And then with this, on November 10th, we're offering different discounts from businesses. We're also offering giveaway bags and just a lot of fun opportunities for students to get involved with the community.
Yes, and I would echo Molly's thoughts in the fact that we are both from small communities and wanted to show our fellow Cyclones what it's about to be in the Ames community and be able to see all of the shops that we have here. And so this event definitely emphasizes those opportunities for students to get out in the Ames community and see all of the ways that they can give back in the ways that Ames has given back to them.
Thank you, guys. So great ideas coming from our students. Now we had to say, okay, how can we effectively bring in the community? Does the community even want to partner about, you know, in an event like this? And what is beneficial from the community standpoint? And so we talked to both Cindy Hicks and also Karen Chitty. Karen Chitty is the director for the Campus Town Action Association. As I mentioned earlier, Cindy is the director for Ames Main Street. And Cindy is with us today. And so, Cindy, what did you guys think when these guys first pitched the idea? And how is it something that ended up being something that's coming to fruition in just a few hours, actually?
Well, we were very excited about it. First of all, the students of Iowa State are a very big part of our community. They come to Ames and they learn to love Ames as much as the residents who live here year-round. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at shopping local, or as you said, shopping green, the money that you spend with a small business, a locally owned business, more of that money stays in the community that you love. It goes towards things like parks and community projects, and so your tax money stays locally. And so that's one of the great things about shopping local. But on top of that, we have this great community of businesses downtown, and they just embrace the students. And as soon as I posed the idea to them, they were so excited to get involved with something that involved Iowa State University students, and they really want to host them downtown, and they want them to come back over and over.
It's been so exciting, and it's been a wonderful partnership. I know I have probably been the least involved of everybody around this table, but it's been so exciting to see it all come together. You had mentioned the power of local spending, and when we first started thinking about buying green, we came up with the immediate connection that shopping local really is buying green, because from a standpoint of the three facets of sustainability, one of them being economic sustainability, shopping local keeps the dollars local, and that really builds and benefits and just makes so much more resilient and strong your local economy so that you can invest in the things that you were mentioning, Cindy.
Well, it is, and when you buy local, you're really buying from your friends and neighbors, people that you sit next to in
Absolutely.
Church, people that you may entertain on a Friday night. They're your friends and neighbors, and you can see with your own eyes where your money goes. They have children. They send their kids to school here in Ames. You know, the money that you spend with them stays here in the community. And I don't want to downplay the importance of some of our really supportive larger businesses in town. I mean, they absolutely have their place too.
Of course.
But we want to make sure that these local businesses and these businesses that are run by our family and friends and neighbors are here in another 10 years and another 20 years.
We want them to be sustainable.
Exactly. and supporting them helps ensure that our downtown area remains vibrant, that it remains an asset to our community, that it's a place that students can come to not only to shop, but to dine and to have a good time, to visit the library, to go to the post office, just to walk around and enjoy art. And so shopping locally really helps to create that vibe and really helps us to sustain that initiative.
Yes, very well said. You had mentioned that a majority of money that you spend stays local, and we actually have pulled a nationwide statistic out that we have on a lot of our promotional materials that we have both in the community that folks will see tomorrow, signage in the different planters, as well as in posters and on our website at Iowa State as well. And that stat is that 73%, so 73 cents of every dollar that is spent locally stays within the community. And you mentioned being able to support the different local causes and things happening in the community. And actually, small businesses are 250% more likely than a larger business to really support those local causes and give back to nonprofits in the community and those sorts of things through the work that they do and the support that they feel from the community.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, you can talk to any of the small businesses up and down the street. And, you know, when the Girl Scout troop is looking for a donation for a fundraiser or the United Way needs help with an initiative, a church group is looking to raise funds to send people on mission trips, they go to our small businesses because the people that are in those small businesses are involved with these groups intimately, and they support them. And by supporting them, they support our community. Mm-hmm. And when you shop small, you support all of that.
That's exactly right. And we have certainly noticed that with the Live Green Initiative. Businesses on Main Street have been so very supportive, as well as other local businesses throughout the community, in supporting our different events and most definitely the Sustains event. And so with that then, Molly and Maddie, maybe you could offer a little sneak peek as to what folks may discover they can take advantage of tomorrow when they start their shopping and start their looking around for the Sustains event.
Yeah, so there's actually a ton of fun stuff going on tomorrow. So first of all, as I mentioned, there are giveaway bags offered at all the participating businesses. So if you buy something at one of the stores, you can get a giveaway bag, which is exciting. Additionally, all the businesses that are participating will have sign-ups where you can sign up to win prizes. A lot of these prizes are donated from the community. As Cindy said, they're very generous in that way. So exciting that way. And then we also have different discounts and coupons the entire day. So you can find a full list on our Facebook event, which is Buying Green Sustains Shop Local Day. This is linked on our Live Green Facebook as well as the Live Green website. So some of the giveaways include free chocolate samples and a free chocolate bar with a $20 purchase from Chocolaterie Stom.
Very good, yes.
Bad pronunciation. Additionally, Littlewoods offers $5 off a purchase of $20 or more. And a tea tasting giveaway is being handed out that day. Octagon Arts, 10% off a purchase. Old Main has 50% off all appetizers and many more. So we're very excited about all those awesome discounts.
So it seems as though it's sort of a one-stop shopping event. So you can shop for presents. The holidays are certainly right in front of us. You can recharge through food as well. And then you can have this reusable, and it's also pouchable. This bag is actually one. It's made out of recycled materials, first of all, so it very much has its own Live Green story, its own green buying story. But then you can fold it up in this little pouch, put it in your backpack, put it in your purse, or, you know, just have it really handy for all of your shopping trips. So it's a give back event as time goes on. However, we want to make sure that listeners know to arrive early. We don't have an unlimited amount of the reusable shopping bags, but we do have them available while supplies last. So get out and make sure you get yours. And you mentioned the different giveaways that some of the businesses are offering. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that sign up? Because we have a large drawing, right, available for a number of different little gift packages from the local businesses.
Yeah, so I would say we have over 20 gifts we can give away, and really all businesses that signed up offered to have a sign-up list at their checkout desk. So kind of up to the businesses if they want you to buy something, if you can just go up to the table and sign up. But basically, if you sign your name on one of those lists, then you'll be entered in to win prizes, and then we'll do a drawing later that week, and we'll give out the prizes.
And you'll be able to tell what a participating business is by a sign in their front window. It'll have a snowflake on it. So be sure to keep a lookout for those signs as you're going down Main Street.
And inquire when you go into the businesses what their specials are, what opportunities are for the drawing, and what you may need to do or if reusable bags are still available, right? Okay, fabulous. And another thing that we thought was important for this event and we'll have as a part of the event is some informational signage in the large planters that are lining Main Street. Molly and Maddie, do you want to talk a little bit about what folks might see as far as messaging in those signs?
Yes. So our great teammate Heidi put together some great signage that echoes the branding of Snow Magic with snowflakes and a holiday feel, but gives some great stats and kind of some fun puns on the effects of shopping local or shopping green. And so you can keep an eye out for those and, again, have a little lasting effect of what shopping locally really means and the lasting effect of your actions in the Ames community.
I would also add, we always try to educate, empower, and engage. So these signs are really the point of educating. We want to make sure that these shoppers know that they're not just buying a gift and just getting something silly in a free bag. They're actually learning more and understanding what shopping local really means.
Fabulous, you guys. Thank you so very much. Also related to the event, I'm wondering if you guys can just quickly give some information, and Cindy, I'd like you to chime in as well. So this is a part of Snow Magic. Do you want to give a little call out to Snow Magic and the kickoff happening on Friday?
So our Snow Magic kickoff is Friday evening.
Which is tonight, actually, yes.
5 to 8 p.m. Everybody is invited downtown for our community tree lighting at 6 p.m. There will be carolers downtown, the Nutcracker Dancers, Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus, of course. We'll have the tree lighting at 6 p.m. There will be free hot chocolate and free carriage rides for complimentary carriage rides. For anybody who wants to come down, everybody's invited. If we're speaking specifically to students, there's a way you can get downtown very easily.
For both events.
Yes. For the event tonight, Snow Magic Kickoff and Sustains tomorrow, and any other day you want to come downtown, you just get on the red line. So find your best stop, get on the red line. You can get off at the library, and that is just one block away from Main Street.
Right. I would also mention that you can get on most any line, which will bring you down to the Ames City Hall. And from there, you can get on the red line and go wherever you want, or you're just a couple blocks off of Main Street. So most every line converges at City Hall, which is very close to downtown as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Excellent. So I would be remiss if I didn't step back just a minute and give a little bit of call out to Iowa State and why we chose the theme of buying green to highlight as part of our 10-year celebration. So at Iowa State, we take a lot of pride in considering all the items and the services that we purchase that come to campus. We not only look at the products and services from a standpoint of what they're made from and how they're produced and where they come from. So for example, we have preferences related to purchased items being made from recycled content, being recyclable, being compostable, being items that are very durable, that have certain energy efficiency standpoints as well. To that effect, this impacts things such as office paper. It considers things as well related to the different equipment that we put in our buildings, the different types of materials that we build our buildings with. It also gets into, if you look at from a local standpoint, it looks at items that we offer in our dining facilities. We definitely give preference to locally purchased items. We also have this local preference when it comes to working with different companies that can provide different products and services. For example, as an average related to our formerly bid construction projects, 85% of them have been awarded to local Iowa companies. And from a standpoint of considering our landscape stock that we use around campus, we have a preference to getting all of that landscape stock locally. Last year, it just depends upon the species, the type of year that growers might have, but last year we were very excited that 100% of that landscaping stock all came locally. So we're very interested in the products and services. We're also interested in the process by which we go about making these purchases. With relation to that, we have a vendor code of conduct that we have in place, offering advice and also an overarching consideration to suppliers related to the types of things that are important to us, whether it be what we can do with products at the end of their useful life, how the products are packaged to get to us, and different considerations related to where they may get their materials that go into the producing of different products and providing of services. We also have a lot of our procurement process that's done online, so we can consider being less wasteful, more efficient in the way that we even order products to begin with. So it's just a little bit of a rundown. As Molly and Maddie mentioned, we have, and I would give so much credit to Molly and Maddie, because every month they put together such detailed and really diverse and overarching blog posts that honor each of our different months that we're celebrating and really give such a wonderful overview of how we are committed to that at Iowa State University and what our accomplishments have been in the last 10 years related to those different areas. And not only do we just look at the operations, but they really focus on how students have a part of this process, how students are allowed different experiences while they're at Iowa State, and how student organizations also really have honored the particular themes that we celebrate. So I would really encourage everyone to go to the LiveGreen website, livegreen.iastate.edu. From there, you can click on to our different months of celebration. You can find our blog posts. Certainly, you can find this information off of our Facebook page as well. So as we sort of look at summarizing here, I want to make sure that we have the information. So let's talk again, time, place, things to look out for, how people can find out more information.
Yeah, so Saturday, November 10th, approximately 9 a.m. to about 4 p.m., kind of just regular business hours for the shops, but that's kind of what we're looking at.
And that is tomorrow, everyone. Don't forget, tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. Very exciting. And so we will have discounts running all day. We will have the limited giveaway bags, so make sure to shop early. But again, most of those stores will be stocked with those, and then we'll also have the giveaways going all day. So you can sign up for those whenever.
And more information again, we have a Facebook page related to our SUSTAMES, and that's SUST-AMES. So SUSTAMES, Sustaining AIMS, Sustaining Our Community, Shopping Local, Buying Green. Wonderful to be partnering with Ames Main Street, also the Campus Town Action Association. Thank you, Cindy, so much for all your wonderful support. And also I would mention, as a part of Snow Magic, Maddie and Molly will be tabling at that event as well. So if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to jump in and ask them any questions you might have. Any final remarks, Cindy?
We're just excited that students are going to come downtown and hopefully learn something new about Ames, find a place that maybe they haven't been to before, and come back quite often. So thank you for helping us attract students to downtown Ames.
Definitely. Thank you for our help in this event. We're super excited. I would also note that beyond Live Green tabling, so Maddie and I will also be joined by three clubs, Dance Marathon, Winterfest, and Colleges Against Cancer. So they'll be talking to community and students, and they're super excited to join. And one other note, we're actually having student organizations decorate business windows. So while you're walking around Friday for Snow Magic and tomorrow, Saturday, for SUSTAMES, you might notice different fun window displays decorated by student organizations. So that's another thing that's fun for the holiday season.
Thank you all so very much. To all of our listeners, we look forward to seeing you tonight at Snow Magic and tomorrow at SUSTAMES. We're so excited to be celebrating buying green through shopping local with all of you here in the Ames community.
Thanks to Mary Rankin and her guests. It sounds as if there will be lots of fun for everyone as Snow Magic and Sustain Ames open the Christmas shopping season in downtown Ames this weekend. One of the stores you might want to stop in would be Everett's Flowers, which I visited last week with Joy B., our new KHOI reporter. For several years, Everett's has been partnering with KHOI to bring our supporters a special gift. For the price of just $20, you can buy a card at KHOI Studio that will entitle you to 12 bouquets of flowers, one for each month. You just have to bring your card into Everett's to be punched and pick up your bouquet. You'll get credit toward a larger bouquet if you decide that's what you want. But remember, you can only buy this card at KHOI. Thank you. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host for today, Susan Franson. Other voices you heard were Dennis Hart, Mary Rankin, Molly Breen, Madeline Blandon, Cindy Hicks, Nicholas Johnson, and Ursula Rudenberg. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. There are also rebroadcasts of this morning's show at noon and 7 p.m. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Farandol from Larisienne Suite No. 2 by George Bizet, played by the Cleveland Orchestra, Robert Porco, conductor. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just look for the yellow donate button. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI meaningful and possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.